beginning of subsection 3. Mr. Gary, would you like to come up for a moment as we go? Would you comment on those initial amendments again for us?
Yes.
Are you tracking with me where I am in your initial?
Yes. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Bill Gary, Deputy Attorney General. The first three proposed amendments regarding the merger provision are really intended merely to clarify and take care of what was pointed out as a grammatical problem with the current language. The current language refers to the same conduct or criminal episode violating two or more statutory provisions. It's been pointed out to me by a person who should know that conduct doesn't violate criminal episodes, only people violate, doesn't violate criminal statutes, only people violate criminal statutes. And so the language merely is intended to clarify that it is a person's conduct that violates criminal statutes. I might suggest that you could accomplish the same thing merely by saying when a person during a continuous and uninterrupted course of conduct violates one or more statutory provisions.
Two of them.
When a person.
Yes.
Instead of person's conduct.
I think that actually is
yeah.
more grammatically correct.
Yeah. Any questions of Mr. Gary? The chair would move then that at the beginning of subsections 1, subsections 2, subsections 3, the introductory language referring to conduct of criminal episode be stricken, and in its place we insert when a person during a continuous and uninterrupted course of conduct. Wait, let's take that one by one. Let's take it first as a subsection one. Is there an objection? Now, in subsection 2, Mr. Gary, I'm trying to see how that language meshes with the present language. If we inserted that, it would read, when a person, during a continuous and uninterrupted course of conduct, though violating only one statutory provision, involves two or more victims. Is there supposed to be a comma after provision?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I think it should be a comma. It might be kind of hard to draft as you're sitting here, but if you said when a person during the course of a continuous and uninterrupted course of conduct violates only one statutory provision, but affects two or more victims. I don't know what the word would be there, but how about if you say violates only one statutory provision, but with respect to two or more victims?
Involving two or more victims.
Involving.
Yeah, involving works.
Okay, so the amended sub 2 would read, when a person during a continuous and uninterrupted course of conduct violates only one statutory provision, but involving two or more victims.
What if you violated a statutory vision, and it involved two or more victims. Just that the victims were victims of different types of statutory violations. I'm trying to think of a twisted example or something. A person commits a rape against one person and theft two against another person. Those two people were together or something.
That would fall.
The two or more victims have to be victims of that particular statutory.
If you're dealing with separate statutory violations, it'll fall under subsection one.
One.
Each provision.
Yep.
Okay, in my example, there would be proof of an element that the others do not.
Yes. The only time that subsection two kicks in is where you have a single statutory violation that affects more than one person, as in the Linthwaite situation where you have multiple assaults or robbery of multiple victims.
Okay.
Linda? In subsection 1, with the provision requiring proof of an element the others do not, is that everything other than lesser included?
The hell they are. Yes.
Your question, Linda? What was your question? I had asked whether when you're talking about two or more statutory provisions and it says each provision requires proof of an element the others do not, if that included everything other than lesser included offenses. And his answer was yes.
Theoretically, counsel, it could also exclude equal offenses. Where there's an additional element for an offense that is in equal degree, I can't think of any in the code. I don't think there are any in the code. But for example, you could have a rape and another kind of sex offense that are both A felonies, where one has an additional element, and you couldn't get a conviction under this section for both violation of both of those statutes. But it is intended to address what is referred to as the true merger situation, which is a lesser included offense, which constitutionally you cannot impose separate convictions for.
The pending amendment would read sub 2, when a person during a continuous an uninterrupted course of conduct violates only one statutory provision but involving two or more victims. Is there further discussion of the amendment? Is there objection to the amendment? Subsection 3 of Section 7 the amendment would read, strike the introductory language and insert, when a person during a continuous and uninterrupted course of conduct, and then it would continue with the existing language, violates only one statutory provision and involves only one victim, let's see, the rest of that I think we need to change the rest of that sentence so it's grammatically sensible, because we're now not referring to conduct, we're referring to persons. So I think it should read, when a person during a continuous and uninterrupted course of conduct violates only one statutory provision and involves only one victim, comma, but nevertheless repeatedly violates the same statutory provision against the same victim. change of the subject of that sentence from conduct to person means we've got to change that following verb to make it sensible, I think. So let me restate it one more time. The amendment, as amended, the section would read, subsection, when a person during a continuous and uninterrupted course of conduct violates only one statutory provision and involves only one victim, comma, but nevertheless repeatedly violates the same wondering if we couldn't restate that whole introduction to say when a person during a continuous and uninterrupted course of conduct repeatedly violates the same statutory provision against or involving one victim, comma, there are as many separately punishable offenses as there are violations, something like that.
Yes. Mr. Chair, if you said your suggestion is a good one, if you, and I think there are as many separately punishable offenses as there are violations against the same victim.
All right, let's state it one more time and see if we can agree. When a person during a continuous and uninterrupted course of conduct
repeatedly violates
one or the same, can we say the same statutory provision? What should follow there? With only one victim or involving only one victim?
Involving, I think.
Involving only one victim, comma, there are as many separately punishable, etc.
There are as many separately punishable offenses as there are violations against the same victim.
Discussion? Is your objection?
Could I ask one question?
Yeah.
If there were two victims under this circumstance, someone had kidnapped two persons and repeatedly over a period of 3 weeks or so, I don't know what period of time, but long enough to reflect, had repeatedly raped these two persons. We aren't, by this language, precluding multiple charges, I guess, against that person for the acts against each of those victims.
Yeah, I think, did we take out the word one and say the same victim? I think that clarifies better that situation. Would you read it back, Linda, as we now have it? Sub three.
I had when a person during a continuous and uninterrupted course of conduct repeatedly violates a single statutory provision, and I had involving only one victim.
I wonder if we should say involving the same victim.
Yes.
Then it would continue there as many separately punishable offenses. Did I get that right? Involving
the same
victim.
You said single statutory provision, same statutory provision.
Single.
Thank you.
On the same.
Violates the same statutory provision. Yes. I read a single.
I violates only one. The same related to a victim.
You had violates the same statutory provision involving the same victim.
When a person during a continuous and uninterrupted course of conduct violates, What do you have there?
Repeatedly violates.
Repeatedly violates.
I had written down a single statutory
yes.
provision.
That's right. Go ahead.
Involving the same victim.
That's the image. The same victim. Okay. Discussion of the amendment. Objection? Now, Mr. Gary proposes further to insert a period after the word violations in line 16, strike the rest of the subsection, and then to deal with this further criterion relating to separate punishability by inserting a new sentence, which would read, a person is guilty of more than one separately punishable offense for repeated violations of the same statutory provision against the same victim only if the trier of fact finds beyond a reasonable doubt that, with respect to each alleged separately punishable offense, the defendant had an opportunity to reconsider his course of conduct and decided not to do so.
Mr. Chairman, in our discussion of this amendment, when I presented it the first time, I think in response to a suggestion of a member of the committee, I agreed that the sentence should end with a period after conduct, deleting and decided not to do so.
Okay, so one more time, the amendment would strike all of subsection 3, would insert a period after the word violations in line 16, strike the rest of the subsection, and insert a new sentence. A person is guilty of more than one separately punishable offense for repeated violations of the same statutory provision against the same victim only if the trier of fact finds beyond a reasonable doubt that, with respect to each alleged separately punishable offense, the defendant had an opportunity to reconsider his course of conduct.
I move we strike his and put her course of conduct in.
Representative Hill, the language in the current draft was inserted in response to criticism that there could be multiple offenses, for example, the assault where there are two blows struck to the victim that could be carved up into separate assaults. The intent of the original amendment that was proposed by the district attorneys was to make it clear that there has to be some separate intent with respect to each offense. The language that was developed referred to a pause in the conduct and an opportunity to renounce the intent. The problem with that language, as I see it, is that it is possible for a person to commit multiple offenses and have a separate intent with respect to each multiple offense without actually having a physical pause in the conduct. The language that I'm proposing would recognize that there must be a separate intent with respect to each each offense, and therefore eliminate the possibility of multiple assaults being predicated on two blows struck in the course of a single fight, while making it theoretically possible that you could have multiple offenses without a physical pause. The other thing that the amendment does is make it clear that it is a question of fact for the trier of fact to determine whether there is one or two offenses when you have a repeated violation of the same statute. And that's patterned after the kidnapping statute, which makes the question of whether there is a separate intent to interfere substantially with the freedom of another a question of fact for the jury.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Linda, you had a question about the Section 7. Some questions.
Yeah. In subsection 2, where we're talking about where there are two or more victims of a violation of one statute, and then there's an attempt to define, to describe that persons owning joint interests in real or personal property would be considered a single victim for determining separately punishable offenses if the property is subject to this list of things. One that just came to mind was criminal mischief, that I don't see on that list. Is there a reason why it's not included?
Mr. Chairman, Pete Sandrock, the Oregon District Attorney's Association. No, there's no reason why criminal mischief is not included, and it could be just as easily added as a subsection H as criminal mischief as defined in the appropriate statutory sections to define criminal mischief 1, 2, and 3.
So moved. Is there objection?
Another question.
Linda?
When you defined joint owners as counting as a single victim in each of these circumstances, let's say there was a burglary of a single house, and there was property owned by, you know, say myself and my spouse. I own some of the property, my spouse owns some other of the property in it, or I and a roommate own different pieces of the property that were taken from the same burglarized dwelling. Under this bill, you would have two victims in that situation since they aren't joint owners of the property. Is that correct?
Separate victims as to the thefts, but not as to the burglary.
Okay, burglary of one dwelling.
Right, but and steals your television set and your roommate's stereo set. Those are two separate thefts with separate victims.
I guess the only reason it concerns me is that it just sort of, you know, is happenstance whether I, you know, the TV and the stereo belong to me and the tape recorder belonged to my roommate, and I, you know, and they took two of one person's and didn't take the third that happened to belong to another person, and it's just sort of a happenstance. Who owns the property?
I agree, just as it would be with separate and unrelated thefts, obviously.
At least I know I'm walking into your house or onto your property and taking one thing and see where.
Right. Then I think the appropriate consideration, then we have to shift to the area, to the issue of multiple sentences. And although there would be separate convictions, I would suspect that in the vast majority of cases, even if those were charged as separate thefts, the judge would probably not be able to make the appropriate findings in order to impose consecutive sentences. Yes.
Well, I'm looking under the consecutive sentence criteria, and it says that the court can impose consecutive sentences or separate convictions out of a continuous uninterrupted course of conduct if it finds, and one of the options would be that the criminal offense created a risk of causing substantially greater or qualitatively different loss to the victim or victims than was caused or threatened by the other offense or offenses. Well, can I ask Mr. Gary if these were separate, if these were in fact, these did not merge under your consecutive sentencing section, could they consecutively sentence for the circumstance I described?
Counsel, in the specific situation, a single burglary with thefts of one roommate's television and one roommate's stereo set, you can theoretically carve that into three separate offenses, two thefts and a burglary. There's a significant question in my mind whether you satisfy even the criteria of subsection 4 with respect to the burglary and the theft in that situation, because I think that the burglary includes in most instances the theft as an element. And there's enough punishment there. Now, that's the first question. The second question is whether if you decide that you're going to consect the burglary and the thefts, whether you can then, in addition, consect the two thefts. And I can't imagine a judge doing that, and I can't imagine that it would be sustained on appeal if he did, under the situation I posit. Let me give you another example, though.
Can I finish that one?
Sure.
You're not sure whether they would be able to consect the burglary and the theft, a single theft?
It's going to depend in the specific example. I don't think they could, but it's going to depend on the kind of theft that you're talking about. For example, burglar drives up a moving van and empties the premises of all of the property. In that situation, I think it might be appropriate to find that a conviction for burglary and a conviction for theft could be separately punishable under the criteria in this section.
Whereas if I didn't have a moving van and just walked in and took it, then you don't
think... It's a question of how much property is taken.
Why if I just, broke in and took a TV? As opposed to the moving van or something.
Yeah. I think there's a difference. There's a qualitative difference between walking in and stealing somebody's television set and walking in and stealing everything that the person owns.
And in addition, of course, the judge also has to make the finding that the matrix range for the burglary, with including aggravated factors, isn't sufficient to deal with the seriousness of the criminal episode. Which
basically means whenever the judge doesn't think the sentence is long enough.
I suppose that's one way of describing it, yes. What we're trying to say is that indeed consecutive sentences are possible in the burglary plus another crime situation, but whether those separate sentences can be made consecutive are going to determine upon the separate findings.
Okay. Were you going to give another example?
The example I was going to give is the moving van theft.
One more question. Under the merger provisions, if you end up with I'm trying to find a section now that's multiple victims of. Okay, I think I'm still under subsection 2. Violating one statute, let's say the robbery on a bus situation, or manslaughter where somebody runs into a, well, I'll take them separately, robbery on a bus, I stand at the front of the bus and I say, everybody, you know, however many are on the bus, throw up your wallets up here, and I'm going to collect them and take off with them. Do I have as many separately punishable offenses as I do persons riding on the bus?
If each and every one of the persons was threatened with force, yes.
Well, I have a gun in front of the bus. Okay.
Yes.
If it's a manslaughter case and I'm recklessly run into a car and the car...